Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on September 5th, 2023, taught by FaithBridge Men's pastor, Danny Hannon. Welcome to week one of the Live in Freedom series, a study in Galatians.
Welcome to the study of Galatians. I'm so glad that you guys have jumped into this with us. I just got to keep saying it absolutely blows my mind to see how the Holy Spirit just continues to work in the men here. If you know me, as we've been talking this past week, just like mind blown, guys, like from shop talk last week, like 274, I think it was. My father-in-law didn't check in, so we'll count at 275, which in ministry numbers is more like 300. So, but you know, going from 166 to almost 300, that's pretty incredible. And so, man, things are happening here. So thank you guys, because that's y'all. It's the Holy Spirit just coming alive, so it's exciting. I'm going to give us just kind of some house cleaning stuff that we'll do, but before I do that, I think I'm just going to need you guys to pray for me. What's the point of being in men's ministries with your brothers if you're not wrestling with something? So I'll be honest with you guys, literally 5 minutes before I'm taking the stage, I get a text, and rule number one, don't check your phone before you're getting on stage. I know, that's my fault. But I know we got a couple home builders in here. I know for certain Jay Penberthy can resonate with this, but I have a very upset customer who just accused us of absolutely not caring about her and have no respect for her time and any of that. And in some regards, you know, she's not wrong in the fact that our contractors are killing us right now and they're not showing up when they say they're going to show up, which I know Jay can appreciate that. Anybody who is in home building or any kind of industry for that matter, when you got to depend on other people. But that hurt me. That hurt, because anybody who knows me knows that's, you know, we love every one of our homeowners. And if you didn't know, I'm bivocational, which means I'm full-time men's pastor here, but, you know, a big chunk of our income comes from my wife and I. So if y'all think about it, just pray for me, because it was literally moments getting on stage, and you're just like, talk about being rattled, and thank goodness for Matthew Bailey, who was standing right there when it happened. He said, we're going to pray, not going to let the enemy distract. So I go through stuff too. We don't always have it all figured out all the time, and we get gut punched or sucker punched. The enemy loves that, doesn't he? Anyways, so pray for me in that, if you wouldn't mind, that the Holy Spirit will just continue to move in this moment now and won't let any distractions come in, including a broken AC. Thank you, Lord, for Rob, wherever he's at. If you were not here when you first got here, I think it was Martin Hoover. Where are you? I think he was the one that said, man, it's getting a little toasty in here. And sure enough, it was out, and Ninja Rob pulled it off. Anyways, thank you. So, let's get back on track. How this semester is going to go, I kind of mentioned it at Shop Talk, but the flow of this semester, you guys have books. Everybody should have a book that's on their table. For the first 3 weeks, just because we're giving the books the first night, obviously you haven't, unless you're an overachiever and you went ahead and read Galatians all the way through. I'm sure there's a few of you who did that. But it starts tonight, which means we'll just go through some basic level teaching, high level teaching, but it's intended for you guys to jump into this on your own. So in those books are going to be your daily devotionals, the SOAPs, as we call it, right? The SOAP study. So each morning you have just a few verses of this week that we're going through chapter one. So you'll see like day one, day two, three, four, five, six, so on and so forth. So that'll be for the first 3 weeks that the teaching will be in the front of the daily devotionals for the week. Then we have our Freedom Concert, which is going to be on September 26th, which I'm not going to lie, I am really excited about this. It's going to be a really neat night, something new, something I think I'd mentioned it at Shop Talk, that we're going to provide some other food that is not barbecue, because at some point, I know we all say we can eat as much barbecue as you can handle, but if you keep eating that every time, at some point you're going to be like, hey, let's mix it up. So we're going to have, it's going to be more like a true concert. We'll have concessions of sorts, but nicer than just the fake cheese nachos and all that. It'll be a cool night. So that'll be on September 26th. And then, but you guys will continue through your daily devotionals, which means the teaching will now be in the rear. So what we are going to teach that week will have been what you've already read through. So I think that's going to be a great format, because then you're going to be kind of getting into this rhythm of, you know, going through these verses on your own, and then you'll get the teaching on the back end to kind of bring it all together. So format, if you are new to one of our studies, the format is the first 20, 25 minutes, you're in table discussions where you'll just gather, share what's going on with your week, get to know one another even more. What did you reach out of that week's devotionals. What's something that maybe God put on your heart that you want to share? That's the first 25 minutes. Then we'll do 15-minute teaching. Don't hold me to that. It may go to 20. Don't come into, hey, you were 16 minutes. Don't tell me that. We're just going to keep going. But we try to keep it around 15 minutes to maximize the back end time where y'all can then go through the questions that'll be in your books. You've got all those. It's 6 questions for every week that we can go through. So is there any questions? Anything I left out that maybe you'll have a question on? If not, you can ask your table leader. Table host will probably be able to help you out. So, okay, with that, we ready to jump into Galatians? Let's do it. All right. So I figure some of the best things that we should do is probably do a little, let's capture what the whole book kind of represents, like why the book of Galatians. So one thing that I have landed on is I love the book of Galatians because in reality, what this look and feels like is it's the Christian Declaration of Independence. This is that book that declares our freedom and makes it very clear there's only one thing that we need to be set free. So it truly is kind of a declaration of independence that Paul, the Apostle Paul, has written for us. You guys all know who Martin Luther is, okay? Kind of the reformer that launched the Protestant movement. Martin Luther called Galatians his Christine von Bora, I think if I'm pronouncing that correctly, which was his wife's name. And he called the book of Galatians that because he was married to it. He said, this is it. Like, everything this kind of captures what it is to be set free by Christ, right? So that's why I am very passionate about it, and that's why I call it the Declaration of Independence for the Christian. All right, let's get some background information out of the way. So the author, obviously, is the Apostle Paul. The reason why that is important is we're going to see as we go through these chapters, we're going to find out that he truly was the perfect man, the perfect person to write this book. Okay, we'll get into a little bit of his story as we go on. But just to make sure I've kind of covered a high level, what you need to know now is Paul was basically the up-and-comer in the Jewish politics. We'll put it that way. Like when, you know, it's like one of our political parties has their eye on this guy and they're like, man, that guy's moving. We're gonna make him president someday. Like this was the up-and-comer for the Jewish world. Okay, they had their eyes on him. He was making things happen and trying to destroy the Christian faith. And then has a massive conversion. And that's why it's important to know that with him writing this book, there's a lot of weight to him being the one to write our Declaration of Independence. So his message was, what he felt like he received was that it was from Christ, not felt like he did receive from Christ, that he was called to go to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Okay, so Gentiles are those who are not Jew. Let's make sure we covered that. Which means every man in this room, as far as I know, is a Gentile. So you can go thank Paul that you know who Jesus is, because he was the one that was called to go take the gospel message from Christ to the Gentiles. Okay, so now we're going to look at what's the region. Why is it called the book of Galatians? So Galatia was the region of Asia Minor. Okay, Paul had 3 missionary journeys. Right, again, I'm just kind of covering a high level so that we can kind of bring this home. Paul had 3 missionary journeys. On his first one is right after his first missionary journey to Asia Minor, which would have been to the region of Galatia, is when Paul wrote this letter. But his whole journey, his whole purpose of his journeys was to plant house churches, right, to share the gospel to the Gentiles, that they would now accept Christ and would come into the faith, right, that he is taking it to Asia. And so these churches are now being formed. So these are like house churches, as we would call it, in the Galatia region. And so he is writing to those house churches, and that's where we get the letter, the book of Galatians, the letter to, the epistle to the Galatian churches. Okay, so that's who he's writing to. Now, what's the problem? Why is he even having to write this? The problem is salvation started to come into question, right? Paul's message, which was from Christ, which we're going to hear about. Paul's message from Christ was, Christ is it. That is salvation. You accept him, game over, you've been saved. That is all that is needed. But what was happening is as he's delivered that gospel, and we'll cover again in more detail what that is, but as he was coming back from that journey, he starts hearing about these pot stirrers, basically. We call them Judaizers. for better word, of basically Jewish Christian. Okay, this was a section of Christianity that was Jewish that started saying, no, that's not the gospel. There's more to it. Okay, it's more than just Jesus. It's you also have to be sanctified by the law. Okay, you have to become a Jew. You have to be circumcised. Yeah, no, thank you. Like, I don't think any grown man in this room would sign up for that as a man, especially when they find out what you have to do. So now they're adding even more difficulty to it, saying you have to be circumcised as a Jew, you have to follow the law, and then Jesus will save you. And Paul's like, are you kidding me? So that's the problem that's happening. Another thing that's happening is because of that, his apostleship, his apostolic authority, as we call it, I'll cover that in just a second, is now in question, right? That he's saying, no, he doesn't have the right to bring that gospel message because he's not an apostle. So his own authority is being challenged, okay? So that's where he has a big problem on his hands. And he's got to basically just cut it off at the knees and say, no more. Like, we're shutting this down, all right? So that's with this forceful letter that he writes to the Galatian churches saying, enough. You really, in fact, do know what the gospel message is, okay? And so that's where we're going to jump in. So let's just make sure we're clear. What he was fighting against was this concept that it's man plus Christ equals salvation. That is not the gospel message, right? Okay, so that's what we're going to jump into. It. So let me make sure that, because again, this is where I know I've used some churchy terms like salvation, sanctification, apostolic. Like, whoa, man, I just came to get some Jason's Deli and now I've got to pull out my dictionary and figure out what some of these words mean. So let's look at first, what is salvation, all right? According to Paul, and we all believe this, our faith, this is what we would say salvation is. We are saved by God's grace through faith alone in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's grace through faith in the resurrection of Jesus. That is it. You are saved. Instant. The moment you've accepted that with your heart, there's nothing else that needs to be added to it. That's it. Now, what they started, the Judaizers started doing, was they were starting to say, oh, well, sanctification is connected to that, and you have to be sanctified first, okay? And so with their definition, like I said, sanctification was you have to be sanctified by the law. You have to be made holy by the law, okay? That's what sanctification means, is that you're being made holy, and that you have to do certain things to be made holy, and then once you've done that, then Jesus will save you. Right, well, that didn't make any sense, right? So now let's understand what Paul's version of sanctification, which is again what we believe. Sanctification is not to be made by the Holy Spirit. That's weird. Okay, I said to be made holy by the Holy Spirit. So it's meaning the Holy Spirit steps in on our behalf to make us holy, and there's nothing you can do. That sanctification comes only by the Holy Spirit. All right? And so that is a process. It's a purification process. Okay, and so salvation is instant, sanctification is a journey. Now, there is a final sanctification that comes at our death. So when I say the word sanctification, what I am really talking about is the journey that we go on, that we experience in our life, that it's not perfection. We never reach perfection here. The final permanent sanctification happens at our death. Okay, and the Holy Spirit has covered you. There's nothing you can do. There's no law you can follow. It's the Holy Spirit only. Now, what the Holy Spirit does work in us is once we have accepted that salvation, once we have said Jesus is in fact the Son of God and I have faith that he covered my sins, I am now instantly saved. But what happens is the veil has been removed from my eyes, which also means the Holy Spirit is going to start to convict us of those moments when we're like, man, like this doesn't feel right. This doesn't like align with God. Like there's something immoral about this or something impure, not righteous about it, right? It's the Holy Spirit that starts working in us to remove the fleshy things, as Matthew Bailey would say. I love that term, the fleshy things. I don't just mean just flesh. I mean all those things like our anger, okay? How we treat people. Maybe it is lust. All those things within us, the Holy Spirit is going, this doesn't align with God. And I'm going to narrow and shorten that gap of you starting to recognize, I got to get these things out of my life, right? That's a journey. That's a process. We don't become perfect at salvation. Sanctification is the process. Are we all tracking? Okay. I don't have any glazed looks over our faces right now. All right. So as I said, the point is What I really want to make sure we've driven home, salvation comes from our heart accepting that Christ died on the cross for us, and that is only by God's grace. That's our faith. Sanctification is the process we go through of becoming more and more like Christ. And it doesn't happen in its permanent form until we die. And the Holy Spirit does it. There is nothing you can do. So you should be able to like, okay, good. Because I feel like I got all these checklists I got to do and knock all this stuff out to become perfect. That's not what it is. Holy Spirit does that for you. Okay? We are tracking. All right. So that's what Paul's now got to fight against, right? Is that these Judaizers are saying, no, there's more that you have to do. And he's saying, enough. All right. So let's jump into there's four things that I feel like we can really capture as a high level from this book, from the first chapter of Galatians. And we're going to start with number one, Paul claims his authority. He absolutely claims his authority, and he's preparing the Galatians to do the same thing. All right, and I'm going to take a little detour right now, real quick, because I like this claim the authority, because I'm going to speak this message. I feel like God just put it on my heart through a conversation with my brother, Jay Penberthy, over there. I want you to hear me say this. I think a lot of the times we struggle that we as men are feel like, man, am I supposed to be like the theologian of my family? Am I supposed to be the one to really understand scripture and all of that? We feel like, you know, that needs to be our role. So what happens is because we're almost afraid that, man, there's like, you know, 3,000 pages in here. Like, I don't know all this, and maybe my wife knows more. Shoot, sometimes I feel like my kids know more than I do about this. And so what happens is then we get quiet. And we've given up our authority. We said, no, I'm just going to be quiet. That's not the message that even Paul's talking about in here. That's not what he's saying. Men, we have the authority given to us by Christ who says you are the priest of your home. You're the priest of your home. That doesn't mean that you're the Bible teacher of your home and that you have all the answers. It means, just like with what's happening in Galatia, when you see a false gospel show up, you say, get the hell out. That is not the gospel message. Our job is to leave an inheritance to our kids and make sure that we have taken that authority and say, this is not of God, and I'm going to get rid of it. That's the authority. So don't let our fear of what I should know keep us from saying what we do know. Does that make sense? So, men, claim that authority. And that's what we're going to see what Paul comes back and he starts talking about. All right, that's our role as men. All right, so he claims his authority. Looking at verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Man, I love that. First three words, Paul, an apostle. He's sticking it right to those guys who questioned his authority. He said, no, I am given this authority by Jesus Christ. You cannot refute, because this didn't come from man. It came from Christ himself. So why is it important that we hone in on what does it mean, apostle, right? Several of Paul's letters, he says a bondservant of Jesus or something slightly different. But there are a couple of letters from him where he goes, Paul the apostle, right? There's a lot of weight in that word. So let's understand apostle. It's a messenger sent by Christ with one message. And so the original qualifications of an apostle, which we have always articulated, I'm sure you guys have heard the Apostle Paul, you've heard that. But let's hone in on what the original qualifications was. That comes from when the disciples, you know, after Christ had left and said, I'm sending you my helper. Okay, so this is in the beginning of Acts, when the church was taking off, the disciples who were with Jesus became apostles, and they had a qualification. We see it in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And basically that qualification is you had to know Jesus, you had to walk with him, you had to eat with him, you had to be present from his baptism all the way to the cross. You had to know him on this side of eternity. And then the second qualification was you had to be an eyewitness to his resurrection. So now you're thinking to yourself, okay, wait a second. If I know anything about Paul, he was not there for that first one. Like for sure the first one, he wasn't there. So they did change the qualifications for Paul. And here's what I love about it. You wanna know why? Because there is no way in this world that a man like Paul, who was doing what he was doing, would be converted unless he saw the resurrected Christ. That's what makes his message so powerful, right? His letter so powerful. When we hone in later verses and you see, like, dude, this guy was jacked up. When you look at his conversion in Acts 9, you're like, man, this guy was, whew. So the apostles, Peter, James, John, all the originals go, yeah, he saw Jesus. And then we also make the assumption when you look at Acts 9 that he was with Jesus in those days that he was blind, right? He was with him. And so they said, you are in fact an apostle. You are an apostle. So his apostleship came from Christ, not from man. That's what he's saying here. All right, so why is that important again? Because people in this time, if you said the word apostle, that had a ton of authority to it. I think we've already covered that. But basically, let's put it this way. It's almost like in your job. If your manager, even if your manager comes to you and says, hey, I need, you know, the CEO of our company wants you to do this. Like, okay, sure. But then the CEO calls you and says, hey, I need you to do this. Yes, sir, I'm on it. Right? Apostleship, apostolic authority is like Christ, apostle. And so those Christians would have known there's a lot of weight. I need to shut up and listen to what he's saying. Okay? So that's why it's important that he leads with Paul, an apostle. Okay. So what's the next thing that then we can capture from this? From the first chapter of Galatians. Number two, Paul leads, if I can find it, where's my slides? This is the problem when I'm controlling my slides. Paul leads with love and encouragement. So he's setting the stage, right? He is about to lay into these guys, but he wants to first start with love. All right, so when we look at verse number three, let me put this up for you guys. This is what happens again when you manage your own slides. Is that the right one? Here we go. All right, starting in verse three. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. He's saying, like, grace to you guys. He's talking to his churches that he planted, right? So naturally, he's loaded full of grace. He loves these guys. Like, he wants them to continue to grow in their faith. So he leads with, I love you guys. Grace to you. And of course, we know what's coming in a few verses is the gut punch, which I always laugh when I read this because I think about that. What is it about the South? When you guys know that phrase, when it's like, oh, bless his heart. You always say bless his heart right before you say, you're a moron. You know, like you lead with that love and then boom, like right in the gut. Like, so that's what Paul's doing. He's saying, oh, bless your heart. Grace be to y'all because, oh, man, I got to give y'all a lot of grace. So he's leading with love. And then it moves into encouragement. When we look at verses 4 and 5, I love this. So he ends with, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, our Father. To him who be the glory forever and ever, amen. So I love that. He leads with grace to you guys. But then let me re-encapsulate the gospel. Like he doesn't get to anything yet. He just reminds them what they should have already known. He gives the gospel. That's what that is, right? When he says, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Now, the other thing that we can capture from this is when he says from the present evil age, he's not talking about deliverance, like, because again, salvation is a deliverance from something, like we're being delivered. So he's not talking about deliverance from the presence of evil. He's saying, on this side of eternity, you will be delivered from the power of evil. Eventually, we get the deliverance from the presence of evil. But while we're here with the gospel, with Jesus in your life, he has delivered you from the power. So you have the authority to step up and say no. Like, that's what he's saying. He's reminding them you have been delivered from this present evil age. Okay? All right. Then now we'll move into number three. Where was I? All right. So this is where he's getting ready to equip the Galatians. In this verse, that's what he's doing. He's getting ready to remind them that they do, in fact, have that authority. So here we go. We're going to jump into where he starts getting where the metal meets the meat. Point number three, he condemns those who would distort it. So that's the gospel. and challenges those who would believe it. He condemns those who would distort it and challenges those who would believe it. When you look at verse 6, remember, he just said, grace to you, and let me remind you the gospel. And now, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Seriously, guys? I don't make this any easier. I just took away all the requirements. All you had to do was let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does and just accept that Christ did it for you and then let the Spirit do what he does. And he's saying, how can you just so quickly turn? It's like, are you kidding me? Sometimes it's easy for us to judge that, but I think to myself, guys, do we ever backslide? Do we ever slip back and we challenge, we think to myself, man, I got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this in order for me to truly be saved? No, that's what he's attacking with this. And then this is where he condemns those, because he says in verse 9, he says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now, I love that. As we've said before, so now I say again. So first off, thank God that we have the grace to be reminded. That actually spoke to me, because I'm like, I guess I should probably give my daughters a little bit more grace, because clearly we all have to be constantly reminded. So he says, as I've said again, let me say it again. Okay. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. In verses leading up to that, he will say, including me. There is only one gospel. There's only one. So if I, in fact, ever come to you with something different than what was given to you, which you know what it is, you know the gospel, you know that's it. There's nothing else that needs to be added to it. If I come to you and say that, then I should be accursed. So he's both condemning and he's equipping the Galatians to say, enough, enough. These men are to be accursed. You cannot add to the gospel. All right. And then the last thing, point number 4. Paul was in fact the right man for the job. Paul was in fact the right man for the job, because this is when he starts getting into his own personal testimony, right? And so that's where I want to do just some quick overview that we see. But let's just look real quick at verses 11 and 12. He says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we covered. And again, you can go back into Acts 9, which is so cool that we're walking through this right now on Sunday mornings, that we've been going through the book of Acts. Right? We saw the conversion from Saul to Paul. So what we know about him, like I already covered before, there's no way that a man like Paul, he had everything to lose. He had everything to lose to become a Christian. He was on the fast track to absolute power within the nation of Israel, right? Within the Jewish faith. He was on the fast track. So he had everything to lose. So he's basically saying, why would I make this stuff up? I lost everything and gained it all at the same time. So you can trust when I say that this message came from Christ, not from man. Because even the apostles are like, yeah, there's no way we delivered this message, because they wouldn't. They were scared of Saul at the time. So they can't convert him. It had to be Christ who did it. So I challenge you guys to then look back where Saul, was basically persecuting the Christians. And we see the biggest one is he was at the stoning of Stephen. He was present for that. He led that. And he continued to do that. Even Ananias, when Paul was blind, even Ananias was like, you want me to go see that guy? Are you kidding me? This is the guy that kills people like me. Lord, what do you want? You don't send me. No way. So that's why when you know Paul's testimony, you can believe that it was in fact from Christ. And so whatever Paul says hereafter, you can go, yep, I know for a fact. And I will say what we're gonna see in the weeks to come is that I love how the Bible overlaps. So many times we think the Bible is just like on a linear plane, just like with the Old Testament, you're gonna go from book to book to book to book, and you feel like that it's just linear, right? It just follows. But when you read about Galatians, you start to see, wait, this actually happens right after this verse, and right after that verse, and it becomes three-dimensional. I was talking about this with my wife. What I love about it is think of it like with World War II. Like, I'm a big Band of Brothers guy. I can watch that series over and over and over again, and I love it. But what can happen is then you can go, well, that was World War II, right? Because you're following the journeys of Easy Company and everything that they did, and then you're forgetting, like, wait, what about the Pacific Theater? What about everything that was going on at the same time? So all of a sudden, when we know that, man, while this was happening, and that was happening, and then it becomes three-dimensional, right? So that's what I challenge you guys, is you jump into these verses, let yourself question and be curious, like, what's going on at these same times? Because you're also going to see in next week's teachings how this whole thing, what we're reading, affected the Jerusalem Council, where Peter condemned the circumcision. And you'll see the connection. So it gives it three-dimensional. Anyways, got off on a tangent on that one. So my point is he was the right man for the job, because there's no way that this could come anywhere other than Christ. Okay? And then in these final verses, this is what I want to leave you guys with. In his final two verses, in verse 23 and 24, let me pull this up for you guys so y'all have got it. He says, they only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And then they glorified God because of it. They glorified God because of it. So this is what I want to leave you guys with before you jump into your table discussions. Let your testimony be the very thing that brings glory to God. Now, we don't have to live in our shame. When you consider what Paul did, like, I love that imagery, that it's like, it was the very fact that who Paul was, that he was trying to destroy the faith, that then people were going, oh my gosh, if this was the guy who was trying to destroy the faith, and now he's the one preaching the gospel, the only gospel, man, all glory be to God. Well, that's a message to all of us. We have something in our life. Maybe somebody remembers us from our past, but we can let our past be the very thing that glorifies God because of what we've come out of and who we've become and our process of sanctification. Right, that God is continuing to flush out the fleshy. Hope Matthew's laughing back there. He may not even be paying attention. The fleshy. Anyways, so that's the message I want to leave you guys with, is let your past be the very thing that glorifies God, and let this letter speak to you because it spoke to me. It is your declaration. Stand in freedom. So let me pray for us, and then you guys dive into your table discussions. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for these men, and I thank you for your apostle that you sent, who didn't even realize this letter we would be reading 2,000 years later, but it had profound impact because it is us. It's our journey. And that we do have, in fact, the authority that you've given us to say, this is the only gospel. It is your gospel. Nothing else is required. We love you for that, Lord, and we praise you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.